believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443. Welcome to the show, everybody. Today happens to be Tuesday, May 19th, 2009. Again, welcome to the show. Today I'm going to be doing a show I have resisted doing for some time. However, it comes to the point where I cannot resist it any longer. There's just too many things going on. Let me give you just a little bit of history of mine. I started in 2001, first half of 2001, working out at Frontsight Farms Training Institute. I started as a line coach. There's three levels of instructor there. And I started as a line coach. About 6 months later, I became an instructor. About 6 months later after that, I moved up to the level of range master, where I was range mastering submachine gun courses. And then from there, I moved into range mastering handgun courses within a year. And from there, I moved into range mastering, M16, then rifle and shotgun, to where I was range mastering all the different weapon systems, and actually got to the level, I was also range mastering then the precision rifle course, where I was up to the level where I was qualified to range master every single firearms course on the schedule. Now, the way the hierarchy at Frontsight works is you've got the owner, a guy by the name of Ignatius Piazza. I say owner. In fact, it's a corporation. He holds like 93% of the corporation. So, in effect, he owns a company. And about 5 years ago, he stopped coming out to the property. His wife gave birth to twin boys. And he stopped coming out to the property. He used to come out during the large course weekends and give his pitch and, you know, get this whole thing called the First Family Membership Program. The First Family Membership Program was designed to so people would pay up front for courses, for a lifetime of courses. Different levels of membership cost different amounts of money, and you got more and more courses, obviously, with the more and more that you paid. And that money, as was said by Nash Piazza, to go towards the development of the facility, to build it on cash flow. And, you know, people maybe write a check for a big amount, and then they would go in and they would have this big influx of cash and build the facility. There's going to have three different phases. Phase one with all the firearms training ranges. Phase two with the ranges for the first family members and a celebrity training center. And then phase three, which would actually be a bunch of home sites and such. So there was actually, that was kind of the foundation of the way the whole thing was going to be. Build is like a Pebble Beach for gun owners. And it's easy enough to research and see all of the information that Nash Piazza put out there. There's been some things going down out at Frontsight for the last few years that have been leading up to some things, and there's now a court decision at hand. And I have not been associated with Frontsight as somebody who's worked there since October of 2008, so about 7 months ago. And because of that, I've resisted really speaking much about Frontsight because I have my opinion comes from that of someone from the inside of the way things work, not someone from the outside as a student. However, enough things have come up. I've gotten enough requests and, quite honestly, pressure to actually bring it up. So that's what we're going to be doing today, is talking about what the hell it is that's going on out at Frontsight. What's rumor, what's not rumor, what's happening. So stick around with me through the break. This is Bill for 2A Radio. Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed.
2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, so welcome back from the break. What we're going to be discussing again, as I prefaced in the first segment, is some stuff with FrontSight. I'm going to read to you a news article that came out in the Pahrump Valley Times Friday, the 15th of May, 2009, just a few days back. Now, Pahrump is the little town which is closest to FrontSight. Pahrump is in Nye County. FrontSight is in Nye County. And I guess FrontSight's about 20, 25 miles outside of Pahrump. So, here's the news article. FrontSight assets seized. At 11 a.m. Monday, as in Monday the, I believe it was the 10th, FrontSight Firearms Training Institute and its president, Ignatius Piazza, went into receivership. All financial transactions involving the firearms training facility, from accepting payments for classes to paying staff and vendors, must take place through a court-appointed administrator. The facility and all assets have been seized by the court, down to the hundreds of firearms included as part of new members' benefits. However, despite the ruling, this past weekend at FrontSight, everything was, quote, business as usual, according to operations manager Rick Morello. He said he knew nothing about the legal proceedings. We have a big weekend coming up with a full schedule of classes, Morello said. Business is booming. The ruling, handed down by U.S. District Judge James Ware in San Jose, California, had its beginning in November 2005 when Stacy James, Bill Haig, and Michael Schreiber filed a class action suit against Piazza on behalf of themselves and other qualified FrontSight members. The suit mentions, quote, violations of RICO, unfair advertising and competition, Nevada Sale and Subdivided Land Act, fraudulent conveyances, Consumer Legal Remedies Act, Interstate Land Sales Full Disclosure Act, breach of contract and fraud, end quote, all based on Piazza's sale of lifetime memberships. RICO is the acronym for Federal Racketeering, Influenced, and Corrupt Organizations Act, originally used to target the mafia and similar organizations. The three men allege the price of memberships they and other members of the class purchased were artificially inflated as a result of misrepresentations and non-disclosures. On October 15, 2007, a settlement was reached and Judge Ware dismissed the suit with the stipulation FrontSight live up to the negotiated term. A settlement fund of $8,050,000 secured by a lien on FrontSight's asset would let them class foreclose. I'm sorry, would let the class foreclose if the fund was not fully funded by October 15th, 2008. So 1 year, all right? Piazza was ordered to put 10% of FrontSight's monthly gross revenues into the settlement fund and provide financial documentation showing he was meeting his obligation. He complied, although according to the plaintiff's court filings, the payments were not timely, which comes as no surprise to former employees and suppliers in Pahrump, I can attest. The settlement also said Piazza had to allow members who were part of the suit to use their FrontSight memberships until the settlement fund was fully paid. Further, he was ordered by the court not to retaliate or make derogatory remarks against James, Haig, and Schreiber. According to C. Keith Greer, attorney for the class, Piazza violated all the agreed-upon terms. At the end of the prescribed year, the fund was short by more than $5.4 million. The day after the fund came up short, Piazza sent a letter to everyone involved in the suit saying FrontSight was no longer obligated to make additional monthly payments because the class action had forced the first mortgage holder on the property to foreclose. This is a lie, and no one foreclosed on the property on that day or any other since, said Greer. Piazza's letter also said FrontSight offered to increase its monthly contributions to the settlement fund from 10 to 20%. Greer said, bluntly, that was also a lie. But Piazza didn't stop there. He told class members they were, quote, forever banned from FrontSight, end quote, which was another violation of the term. The same day, Piazza sent a letter to non-class members declaring, quote, After they attended over 200 front sight courses and pocketed $830,000 out of the first $1 million I paid timely into the class action settlement fund, the three malcontents and their ambulance-chasing attorney tried to kill front sight and terminate your membership by forcing us into foreclosure. So I cut them and their followers off at the knees. In this letter, I reveal all the gory details and show how the new front sight turned the tables on these backstabbing saboteurs. Okay, those were quotes out of the letter that Nate Piazza sent out to members. According to Greer, again, Greer is the attorney for the class action suit. Defendant Piazza also boasts that, in violation of the court order against encumbering the property, he created Front Sight Management 2 and signed a 99-year lease with the old Front Sight entity, leasing the land, water rights, entitlement, equipment, weapons, licenses, trademarks, copyrights, intellectual property, internet sites, accounts, etc. Every asset the old Front Sight had is now leased by the new Front Sight entity. Greer said it is clear Front Sight violated every aspect of the court order and settlement agreement. He added that Piazza did so notoriously and in a manner that flaunts disrespect for the law and the judicial system. Piazza's guerrilla marketing technique of sending frequent emails with special price offers to prospective members give Greer and his clients easy access to information. They used Piazza's own words as evidence to show the court that Piazza and Front Sight have the money to satisfy the settlement obligation. On December 30th, 2008, Piazza emailed members saying Front Sight had doubled in students, members, and net worth each year for 12 years. He said, quote, "While others are laying off people, we are hiring," end quote. He also said Front Sight had been offered a $25 million letter of credit. Taking Piazza at his printed word, in March, the class asked to have Piazza appear in court with financial documentation Piazza agreed to supply in the settlement agreement. In fact, Greer asked Piazza to live up to all the stipulations in the settlement, including paying the claims administrator and stopping interference with the membership rights of class members. Greer also asked the court to order Piazza to stop publishing disparaging remarks about class members. Ware granted the request, setting the hearing date for March 23, 2009. Piazza did not appear, nor did he send any representation to appear on Front Sight's behalf. He did, however, fire his attorney at the last minute, which the judge called an 11th-hour dismissal, when he issued an order for Piazza to show cause why he should not be held in contempt of court and subject to sanctions for failing to appear. That hearing to show cause was held this past Monday on the, I believe it was about the 10th of May, resulting in Ware's decision that Front Sight had defaulted on its agreement with the class. All assets belonging to Front Sight and Piazza were seized by the court. An administrator was appointed to run the organization. Now, that is the end of the story. That was written by a lady by the name of Gina Good. I happen to know Gina. Wonderful lady. Her and her husband, I actually know her husband better, Bruce. Great people. Now, Nate Piazza has done a lot of stuff with SurvivalBlog.com and J.W. Rawls. So here's something off of the Survival Blog website. It says the following. Adios to Nate Piazza, but perhaps not to Front Sight. This news article was published yesterday. Business as usual, Front Sight assets seized, and there's a link. Please take the time to read it. I haven't yet been in touch with the new management at Front Sight to get any additional details. Last night, I dismissively posted a piece to Survival Blog, castigating the plaintiffs in the case. But I spent several hours later last night doing web searches about the various Front Sight lawsuits, and it was an eye-opener. Up until yesterday, I had thought that only one of the lawsuits had any merit and that Nate Piazza was merely a convenient target for deep pocket lawsuits. Please forgive me for not taking the time to do this research before. I can now see that Nate Piazza had indeed been doing business unethically. I'll be removing the Front Sight ads from my website and will discontinue using Front Sight course certificates as writing contest prizes. I won't promote FrontSight again unless or until it can be established that A, Naish Piazza has no influence whatsoever with the new FrontSight management and will not profit from the operation, and B, the existing FrontSight course certificates will be honored by the new court-appointed management. Please accept my humble apologies for my lack of due diligence about one of my advertisers. I have no idea about what will happen with the course schedule at FrontSight and the status of FrontSight course certificates that are presently in circulation. I will post details as soon as they become available. I must mention that none of the preceding comments distract from the reputation of the outstanding staff at FrontSight and the quality of the training. It is still one of the premier firearm schools in the country, and I still highly recommend them. As for the current round of the Survival Blog writing contest that was to have a pair of FrontSight course certificates as the first prize, I will be substituting other prizes. That comes directly off the Survival Blog website. Now that you have a bunch of that information swimming around in your head, when we come back from the break, we're going to begin to digest everything that's there and give you a little bit of Bill Karn's thoughts. Stick around through the break.
Responsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Karns, 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, welcome back from the break. Again, today we're talking about FrontSight. Now I need to give a little bit of disclosure. I worked for FrontSight for 7.5 years, better part of 8 years. And I left as the lead rangemaster. Now, lead rangemaster isn't so much a title handed out to somebody. It's kind of the combination of duties. So it's not that they hand out a business card saying, your title is lead rangemaster. It's kind of the assumption of duties. I was the only person on staff qualified to rangemaster every course, as well as I wrote the curriculum to nearly every course. And I proposed new courses, wrote curriculum for the proposed new courses that would go on. Anyhow, I was really involved on the site, not so much with the guy who owned the place, Naish Piazza. Now, I never really got along with Naish so much. He's one person that has to have absolutely all the recognition. Anybody in the history of FrontSight that worked there and really started getting, you know, quite a bit going on and started getting a name for themselves, Naish cut off at the knees because he wanted all of the fanfare. Everything was all about him, right? It's just one of these little man syndromes, big ego sorts of issues. I mean, he's physical stature. The guy's not a very big dude. He's, I don't know, maybe 5'7 or 5'8 or something, and maybe 5'6. I don't know. He's not a very big guy. And just kind of has this big God complex of sorts, just his own biggest fan. So when anybody else would do something good, any of the other former guys that had been out there that were really doing good things, and the staff and students were saying, hey, you know, this guy's really good, and thanks a bunch for this guy doing stuff and whatnot, Naish resented all of that. Piazza just hated that and would eventually force them out or find a way to get rid of them or get them to resign or whatever so we wouldn't have to pay him unemployment, whatever it might be. So, which is essentially what happened with me out there. And, you know, Naish's story about me leaving is different than my story about me leaving because he wants to be ugly about the whole thing. I just want to give a little bit of disclosure. I don't like the guy. Never have liked the guy. As a matter of fact, with the current operations manager, Rick Morello, took over in October from the former operations manager who was there in inception by the name of Brad Ackman. Both are great guys, and I mean, both are really good guys. I like both guys. I worked with Rick for years. I worked with Brad the entire time I was there. And, you know, Brad used to get a hold of me and say, look, we've got this issue coming up. Like one time he called me and said, we've got 92 people scheduled for a specific advanced tactical handgun course, which the largest number before had been half of that. And my marching orders were, look, just do what you need to do to make it run. And this was about 10 days in advance of this huge class coming up. So I did everything I needed to do, handled everything, and it ended up being the smoothest advanced tactical handgun course we'd ever had, with 92 students in it, quite a bit of staff, and the facility, everything ran smooth as silk. And that's the sort of thing that pissed the owner off, Nate Piazza, because the only credit he could take is, well, that's my staff, that's what I have them do. I trained a guy up to the level of handgun combat master, and in that level of handgun combat master, he ended up calling Nation, thanking him basically giving him kudos for me, because every class he'd ever taken was under me. And here's what Nash did. He accepted all of the thanks and turned everything back to himself, how great he was, and totally dismissed anything to do with myself or any of the other staff that had worked with this particular guy, Don Benfield. And Don told me, he said, you know, I had to get off the phone. It made me sick that he wouldn't give anybody else any respect. So there's a little bit of information. That's a little bit of disclosure. Now, we talked a little bit about this class action lawsuit. Let me give you just a couple minutes of history on this. Bill Haig is a guy that bought a platinum membership. That platinum membership out at FrontSight meant all of the courses that FrontSight had or ever would have would be included. He could take them for life. It also included a one-acre home site in the master plan community, which initially was supposed to have people out there, houses built, people living there by the end of 2001. Well, that never happened. This is 2009. They haven't moved a granule of dirt out there in a few hundred acres worth of property. Probably, you know, 400 plus acres worth of property out there for that community. So he also had he was kind of ticked about that. He had actually made a loan to FrontSight, to the owner, for some operating expenses. He called that loan due. It didn't get paid back. This other guy, Stacy James, he had bought a silver membership, which that membership, when he bought it, included, if you took a fully automatic course for submachine gun or M16, it included the ammunition. It also included the ammunition for any courses that we ran out there with, that FrontSight ran with simunitions. Well, then Nash upgraded that membership, the silver membership, to a gold membership and said, we're no longer going to be providing that ammunition. You're going to have to pay for it. Well, Stacy James said, you know, that's not what I paid for. I signed up for this agreement, not one that you want to change. I don't want the upgrade. I want you to uphold it. So all of this turned into these guys dealing with Nash individually, him basically flipping them the bird and saying, go pound sand, I'm going to do it my way, like it or lump it. So that pushed them into filing a class action suit. The third guy, I don't know anything about him. I don't know why he got involved, so I can't very well speak on that. But when we come back, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you a letter that Nash Piazza sent out to the people who joined the class action suit and completely hosed. So stick around through the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Karn. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back from the break. Okay, here is a letter dated October 16th, 2008. This went out to all the people who joined in this class action suit. Now, let me give you just a tiny history on this. Back in the day, years ago, FrontSight used to charge large amounts of money for memberships. Like, I think the cheapest membership was $12,500. It went all the way up to $350,000 for the platinum memberships. I think a bronze membership was $32,500. A silver membership, which gave you more classes, I think it was like $120,000, $125,000, something like that. Then he introduced something called the Diamond Membership later and started selling Diamond Memberships, which was every single course offered at FrontSight. It was $5,000. He had a Challenge Membership, which had several different courses offered. It was $1,200. Now, just taking one single class was $2,000 at the time, but yet you could buy a lifetime membership for $1,200. So the people that spent, say, $32,500 who had a membership value, I had one of those. I had a membership valued at $32,500. But now he's selling memberships for far, far less than that, that gave you far, far more classes. So the people that were in this situation that were not happy about having spent so many tens of thousands of dollars on memberships joined in the class action. A lot of them did. I did not. But a lot of people did. What they did was they bought cheap memberships, like the $5,000 Diamond membership, which was gave you more classes than the $120,000 Silver membership of years before. So they could spend $5,000 and get more classes than the membership they'd previously spent $120,000 on, right? So they filed, they bought the cheaper membership so that they could have a membership and still go out there and train, but then they joined in this class action suit to recoup something from the $120,000 memberships of years before. All right. So Nash, of course, didn't like this. So here's what he wrote on October 16th, 2008. Dear FrontSight class participant, this letter is to inform you that due to the actions of your attorney, Keith Greer, and the three class plaintiffs, Bill Haig, Stacy James, and Michael Schreiber, FrontSight is no longer obligated to make any additional monthly payments into the class action settlement because their actions forced the first mortgage holder to foreclose. This is unfortunate for you as FrontSight has paid 10% of our revenue every month into the settlement fund over the year without fail, and offered to increase the payment to 20% over the next 2 years to pay the settlement in full. You would have also been able to continue to take courses during those additional 2 years, during the additional 2 years, but your class representatives, Haig, James, and Schreiber, along with their attorney Greer, refused to allow a refinance of the first mortgage. So now, per the terms of the closed and settled class action case, FrontSight is no longer obligated to make another monthly payment into the Class Action Settlement Fund, and you are forever banned from FrontSight. It is equally unfortunate for you that Keith Greer, Bill Haig, Stacy James, and Michael Schreiber pocketed $830,000 of the first $1 million that I paid into the settlement, leaving less than $1,500 per class participant available for you, yet would not extend the terms of the settlement so you could continue to attend courses and continue to receive monthly payments into the class settlement fund. FrontSight has informed the new operating entity that has secured a 90, I'm sorry, FrontSight has formed a new operating entity that has secured a 99-year lease on the property to ensure no interruption in courses, services, and membership benefits for those who chose not to participate in the class action lawsuit. Unfortunately, you chose to file a claim and, per the settlement agreement, are forever barred from FrontSight. You should you have any questions, contact your legal counsel, Keith Greer, at 858-613-6677 or your lead plaintiff, Stacy James, at this number or the other number. You may also want to consider seeking legal representation for a malpractice claim against Keith Greer and the class action plaintiffs to recover your losses. James Rummins is one of only a handful of attorneys certified in the state of California in the specialty of legal malpractice. Mr. Rummins can be reached at the following number. Good luck to you. Sincerely, Ignatius Piazza. So that was Nash Piazza's great big middle finger flying bird in the face of hundreds of people who rightfully sought, wow, somebody can spend $5,000 and get something better than what I spent $120,000 on some time ago. Basically 1/25th of the price, right? So 4 cents on the dollar they could get something better than what I got. So, yeah, I'm going to buy one of those and then file a claim on this and get at least some of that back because I got hosed. Now, I told you before that about 5 years ago, Nace stopped coming out on the property during classes. I think he actually showed up to one class one time to introduce the $1,200 challenge membership. Other than that, he hasn't really been there for any class. Comes out on this the 4th of July annual thing that comes on. And that's really his annual appearance. Other than that, oftentimes he doesn't come out at all. If he does come out, it's during the middle of the week when classes aren't being held, which is Friday through Monday, and then usually Tuesday there's an add-on class, usually like a concealed weapons course going on. So Wednesday and Thursday are pretty much non-course days for the most part. And that's generally when you'd ever see Nace Piazza on site, if he ever actually came, which you could count on one hand the number of times a year he would come. And he used to say, viably so, I don't need to work in the business, I need to work on the business. Okay, that's fine. Leave the firearms training to those of us who are actually professional firearms trainers. Leave the business end to the business guy. Now, he claimed, you know, four weapons combat master. Great, you went out there, you learned all this stuff, you learned to shoot, you learned how to teach reasonably well, and then you left. And the last time that you actually taught a course was back in 1997 when you opened the place in 1996. So, fine, keep the rust off of it. And it's funny, Nace used to say to the staff, when you can rangemaster course as well as myself or Brad Ackman, then you can move up to the level of rangemaster. Well, I got to tell you, Brad Ackman can rangemaster a course. Brad Ackman's really good. I don't believe, and this is just my own personal opinion, that Nace Piazza could shine my boots when it comes to the ability to rangemaster a course. It's my opinion he's not qualified to carry my range bag with all my gear when it comes to who can rangemaster a course better. I have rangemastered hundreds of courses and thousands of students myself, personally, and trained others up to the level of doing that. Now, I said that I was the only guy on staff qualified to rangemaster all the courses out there. One thing I cannot stand is being the only person able to do something. Others should be able to do it. And I used to look around the staff and talk with Brad Ackman, who's the operations manager, really the only boss that I had, and say, you know, look, we need more coverage on M16. There's only a couple of us qualified to do it. And, you know, here's some issues with only the two of us or three of us. You know, we need to get other people up to speed. And my recommendations are these. You know, maybe this guy or these people or something like that. And I was never one to go in with a problem and say, look, here's a problem. I was always one to go say, look, here's an issue. Here's what I believe is a viable solution. Take them a problem and a solution for it. And generally speaking, the response I got was, okay, let's go with it. Or, let me think about it, critique it a little bit, and then give you an answer. That was generally the way that it went with Brad Ackman. Great guy. And from there, we would do things like train other people up. At one point in time, I myself and one other guy were the only ones teaching the Handgun Combat Master Prep course. Actually, it was really me. The other guy stopped teaching, Wesley Houllier. He pretty much stopped. So it was just me. So I got two other guys up to speed. Well, then one moved away, and one of them got another job. So then I had to train a couple other people, and I was in the process of that. One of the guys came back. That is actually Justin Campbell, Handgun Combat Master, Chuck Taylor's Handgun Combat Master number 43. Great guy, good personal friend of mine, great friend of mine. You heard him on the show a few weeks ago. He came in for an interview. So he is certainly qualified and oftentimes does run the Handgun Combat Master course out there. With all this being said, again, a little bit more about the whole full disclosure and just history on me and what I know about what goes on out there. Now, I will tell you this. I know Bill Haig. I know Stacey James. I don't know this other guy. Let me find his name again. Schreiber. Michael Schreiber. I do not know Michael Schreiber. However, I know Bill Haig. I know Stacey James. I'm not friends with either of these guys, but I do know them. I have spent time speaking with them. I have rangemastered courses with them. I've even taken classes with them a couple of times. I didn't always teach. Sometimes I would back off maybe a couple times a year and actually take a course as just something for me to do because I had a membership with so much value to it. I may as well have done something with it, right? So, and I completely understand that they were not happy out there because they were not getting back what they had agreed to, what they had gotten in agreement. Now, keep something in mind. Nate Piazza never actually had a form or anything, any sort of agreement. He could change willy-nilly whatever he wanted with memberships, and the only recourse anybody had was, well, to file a lawsuit, which is what happened. So essentially, for a few hundred grand, I don't know how much Bill Hague spent on his platinum. I'm going to guess about $300,000. If he had gotten his 300 grand back, plus the loan amount that he had given to Nash, and then Stacey James had his ammunition paid for, and whatever Michael Schreiber wanted, I don't know, he probably could have got out of this entire lawsuit for $450,000 to $500,000. But because Nash didn't want to listen, he didn't want to do anything that was actually right. He let his ego and his attitude get a hold of him. Now, this is my opinion from knowing the guy from the inside. He was going to have basically a big flying. And Nash and I talked about this after this suit was filed. He was on property on a day off. I happened to be out there. And he said, you know, what do you think about this suit? I said, well, you know, my opinion is if these guys want to file a suit, that's fine. But they brought the media into it. They brought in the CBS affiliate out of Las Vegas, KLAS TV. They have several stories on there that you can actually go on and click on about FrontSight. They have a investigative reporter, Colleen McCartney, that came out and did kind of a hit piece leading up to this class action lawsuit filing back in 2005. And she's been keeping up to speed on what's been going on, filing different stories. Anyhow, I said, I just don't like the idea that they brought the media into it. And, that's not cool. I don't like that at all. Whatever your dealings with them are, that's your business. And, he had some disparaging things to say about the plaintiffs. So with that being said, he decided to play hardball with these guys. You can see all of the different mailers that he put out, the emails that he put out about these guys, just in talking serious smack about Judge James Ware. And, not really smart. Just basically, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what you guys think. Well, now he's basically had his ass handed to him. The court took everything from him. And I got to tell you what's interesting. If you actually look at the court papers that were filed, and they're available for the Federal District Court in Northern California, they're all available online, PDF format. You can read them. Now, these things say that the court-appointed administrator is essentially the new chief executive officer. And Nash Piazza has absolutely nothing to do with the business any longer. Now, FrontSight has a home office, but it truly is a home office. It is an office within Nash Piazza's home. I am told that he had an expansion put onto his house, and that's for the office. And the three or four people that work in the home office go to Nash's home and then go to the office part in that home. And according to the judge's orders that are available to read online, the new CEO is supposed to have all the locks changed, and Nash can't have anything to do with the business. He's got a hold on the mail. The new CEO gets the mail. If he wants Nash to look at it, he can then allow him to. All of the finances for FrontSight and for Nash Piazza are all seized by the court. He can't go to the store and write a check for $20 for some groceries without this guy's approval, according to these papers of the court. The new administrator is going to have to handle all the payroll, all the incoming mail, all the outgoing mail, accounts payable, accounts receivable, entirely in charge of the entire thing. So everything's been taken away from Nash Piazza. Now, what is FrontSight saying? What are the minions, the people under the level of Nash Piazza at FrontSight saying? They're saying about this news article, where you can't believe everything that you read. We had 428 students this past weekend at FrontSight, so obviously things are business as usual. We have 400 students for the next weekend and 400 students for the following weekend, so obviously business as usual. So they're really not addressing it. In fact, everything that was in the article appears to, when compared with the court papers, to be accurate. As a matter of fact, that article didn't actually go far enough, and I am told that there's going to be a follow-up article that actually has even more information coming out in the Pahrump Valley Times. With all this being said, what does that mean? Well, what it means is in receivership, this new CEO, it would appear, is supposed to run the business, fund the class action suit, and keep the business running. Okay? Keep the business running. Now, and once the class action suit is settled, who knows what's going to happen? Naish might get the business back. The court may make it like a, kind of an employee-owned company or a membership-owned company with a board of directors and an administrator. Who knows what's going to happen? Naish may be completely done with this. Piazza might be totally out permanently. We just don't know. That's up to the court after the fund is settled and this class action suit has been paid off and settled. That's what it means. So beyond that, we don't know. I got to tell you, from my own two cents, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I have found Naish Piazza to be an absolute, complete jackass for many years. Just absolutely all about himself. It's my belief, and this is just one guy talking, one guy who's on the inside, that as long as he got what he wanted out of everything, it didn't matter what happened to anybody else. Collateral damage, who cares? Could care less about the employees, the staff. Could really care less about the students as long as the money was coming in and he was raking it in. Well, again, one man's opinion, that's what I saw from the inside. Lots of allegations about other things, such as organizations he was in, different, belief systems that he had. I don't know. Who knows? But what I do know is from the inside how he ran it, kind of. Okay, stick around. We'll sum this up after the break. This is Bill Carnes, UAV.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back from the break. Okay, we're summing up our show today on some of the ongoings of Front Sight with some litigation. They also have a wrongful death suit on them. Only one person has ever actually died out at Front Sight, and that was somebody on 4th of July 2007 on the zip line. It wasn't shooting related. Several people have had self-inflicted gunshot wounds, most of them up and down the leg, one to a hand, people that weren't doing the techniques properly. And actually, a staff member took a round in the leg up there a couple of months ago, but, Naish Piazza wants to, keep that on the download. It happened in the parking lot with somebody fumbling around, and he totally screwed the employee out of, missed time on the job, even paying for the medical expenses, filing a claim with workers' compensation, and just, hey, we're just going to deny the whole thing happened. It's not on the incident report, blah, blah, blah. So a bunch of BS. Just not an ethical sort of person, not an ethical way to run a business, not an ethical way to treat people. All right? I have to say all of that. I'm sorry. I have to say all of this on top of that. I support the mission of Front Sight of training people in defensive firearms. When it comes to training people off of the street in defensive firearms, I find Front Sight to be one of the best. One of the best. There's also Thunder Ranch with Clinton Heidi Smith. Fantastic people, fantastic program. There's also Gun Sight in Paulden, Arizona. Fantastic people, fantastic organization. Ed Head is the guy that's the operations manager there. Lots of background, great people. I know the vast majority of the staff at Front Sight. I trained the vast majority of the staff at Front Sight. In the last 7 months since I've left, they brought a lot of people on. I don't even know. But I support the people, the good, honest, hardworking people out there. There are a few staff members out there that don't belong. Nothing that I ever had anything to do with or could do anything about. That's just my opinion as a professional firearms instructor. But the vast majority of the people out there do a good job, and they're out there for the right reasons. They've gotten very low pay. As a matter of fact, the pay schedule out there is the same, if not a little bit lower in one quadrant, than when the business started in 1996. Never an increase in pay. Right? They're making the same money, except for instructors actually make 25% less than the instructors of 13 years ago did. So again, another thing of I guess I should say the former owner, Nate Piazza, who's now basically gotten fired by the court for throwing up the bird to the class action, the plaintiffs, the judge, the attorneys, everything. And now he's had his butt handed to him. Well, again, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. But I do support the people. I do support the program out there. Having been the guy that wrote and managed the curriculum for a long time out there, I got to tell you, it's good stuff. Could it be better? Yeah, in my opinion, things could be better. There's too much sales pitchy stuff going on, but, you know, you get what you get. I hope you enjoyed the show today and everything that we had to go on with it. You can send me emails. I don't intend to make this a regular piece on Hitting on Front Sight. I've just had so many different influences coming on and basically saying, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Today was the day. I'm going to consider this chapter closed. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.